I'm Chad, and I have been serving in single adults for maybe 3 years now or whatever, since early on. So if you've been around single adults for a while, you've heard little snippets of my story here and there, and so I'm just going to do it again tonight. But I'm going to go through and combine some pieces of my story tonight, and then we're going to introduce y'all to the last hidden figure of the summer. And so probably, well, you all saw the email, so you've heard of our hidden figure, but I'm going to come at it from a different way. So I grew up here in Dallas, and I went to high school at Lake Highlands, graduated. I was super active in my youth group at my church growing up, and when I went to college, I decided that I needed to go into full-time youth ministry, so that was the plan. I did a little teeny stint in seminary and decided that that was not for me, but I worked at a church for a little while. I was on staff at a church, and in the time that I was there and shortly after, I stayed on staff. I made some really poor choices and got in trouble and essentially was asked to leave being on staff at the church. And so after I did that, I was super discouraged and kind of bewildered, discouraged. And so I didn't know what to do because that was my passion and what I thought God wanted me to do. And so my dad had a business, and so I was like, I'll just go work for him. And I went and started in a cube working with him and kind of worked through things. The business started to grow and things went really well. And then, I don't know, about 2001, things began to change just in the industry, and we began to decline. And then probably 2004-ish, we lost, I think 2003 or 4, anyway, we lost money for the first time we ever had. And so being the good church boy that I was, I was like, okay, I'm going to take this to the Lord. I'm going to pray about it. And so and it was genuine. I was like, Lord, just help us get back into the black and just get things going again. And the next year we lost $100,000. And it just, one, it was terrible. And two, it was somewhat faith shaking, I would say. And so, you know, if you persevere, that's what the Bible says, you persevere. And so I prayed and prayed and persevered that the Lord would help us turn the business around. And the next year we lost $250,000. And it was, and at this point it's bad. And so I'm pretty lost at this point. I have no idea what's going on. I'm kind of ruining my dad's business is the way I'm looking at it. And so I'm ruining his business. I'm ruining his retirement. I failed in ministry. I'm failing in business. And then you throw in some dating, and that never went well. And so I was just like, man, I'm a failure at almost everything that I do, or it seems like. And I'm pretty beat down at this point. And what I always say when I just kind of give my testimony is I'm like, at this point I am going to work, and I'm coming home, and I'm just hiding out, I guess, just trying to survive. And so if you know anything about Gideon, I'm going to move into that. I'm going to read Judges 6 is where he is. I'm going to read some of the very beginning of that, and you can listen a little bit for me in this story. So Judges 6:1, it starts off the Israelites. If you've read Judges, there's a lot of the Israelites, what was right in their own eyes. So the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel. The angel of the Lord came and sat, so I'm going to skip to verse 11. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under an oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." Gideon replied, "Pardon me, my Lord, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" And Gideon replied, "Pardon me, my Lord, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answered, "I will be with you and will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. So if you listen to that story, where I am when I left off earlier is I am, if you know anything about a wine press, I had to go figure out what that was. And so back in the day, so a wine press is a hole in the ground. He's threshing wheat, which is normally done out in the open. You throw the wheat up, the wind blows the chaff away, and the wheat comes down. Well, the wine press is a hole in the ground where they stomped on the grapes. And so he's down hiding in this hole, and he's trying to sift the chaff from the wheat inside this enclosed territory. And so the reality is this dude is super scared of the Midianites. They're coming against him, and he's hiding, and I'm sure it's super hard to do his job while he's hiding in there. And I thought, when I was reading, kind of preparing for it, I was like, man, that is exactly where I was. I hit a point where I didn't know this when I first read this story. I kind of came in it looking at it from a different direction. I was like, man, I was right there. The Midianites were not bad guys coming to kill me or trample my crops. The Midianites were, for me, the Midianites were essentially lies that I was believing. And so I had tried something and failed and tried something and failed and tried something and failed to the point that I'm just hiding out. Like, I'm so scared of anything that's coming in toward me, I'm fearful to get out of the wine press and go do anything. I'm just staying inside there. And so the Midianites, I think for all of us, I think we have different things. For me, it was lies that I listened to, that I was a failure. I think for a lot of us, it could be somebody real. It could be your boss. You actually have a real enemy, your boss or a coworker. I know people who have families that can be really challenging, and it's just a super challenging situation, and so family's not a safe place to be. And so the Midianites, I think, can be anything in our life that continues to come against us. There's a pattern of that, or even a one-time deal where, one-time experience where I'm just fearful to get out of where I am. I'm just hiding in this place. And so one of the things that we want you to do tonight in the questions is, one of the questions is, who are the Midianites in your life? They're bad guys in the story, but for us, we have those in other areas. But also in this is, I think one of the really interesting things is, he essentially says, or all the judges, or the people did right, what was right in their own eyes. That's how all of these chapters start. And I was like, okay, when I was at the church, I made a really bad mistake. And that was me doing what was right in my own eyes. But the thing at work was just circumstances. It was just something that happened. And I was thinking about that, and I was like, was I really doing what was right in my own eyes? But what I saw in the story that I think is so applies so much to the way we are today, especially in America, is that Gideon is, when he's trying to, he says to the Lord, he's like, hey, I've heard about the God that rescued everybody out of Egypt. Where is he? Like, I've read about him. Where is he? And that's the way I am. So when I prayed for God to save the business and I lost money the next year, and then I prayed again and I lost money the next year, I'm getting super duper discouraged because the God that I read about and the God that I believed in wasn't doing what I wanted him to do. And the interesting thing about that has been really, and it's still convicting to me, is I want God to change my circumstances is what I want. And I'm not super interested in him changing me. And that is really convicting. And at the time when all this was happening, him changing me wasn't even on the radar. I just wanted him to change the situation that I was in right then and there. And the crazy thing about that story is, I told you I lost money in the business 2 years. We lost money for 8 years in a row. And for 8 years in a row, I asked God to change my circumstances, and he didn't. And that was super frustrating. It shook my faith is actually what it did. And it made me wonder, what is this thing that I believe? It doesn't seem like he's doing anything. And today, what I know is that he was changing who I am. I mentioned that in my testimony a few weeks ago. Today, I know that he was changing who I am, and not my circumstances, which is super frustrating, if you're honest. It was a crazy deal today. So I'm go home after work to come up here, right before I come up here, and I have a pool guy, and he's never there at 5 o'clock. He's always there on Tuesday at 10 a.m. And so when I get there, I see him, and I introduce myself, and he introduced himself, and I said, "Hey, I got to go. I just want to ask you a question, but I got to go." And he said, "Where?" And I said, "I'm running the church. I'm teaching at church tonight, just kind of hoping to have a conversation." And he said, "What are you teaching on?" And I said, "Gideon." And he's like, "Oh, man, I was just reading that the other day." And I said, "That's crazy. Well, I'm not teaching, if you've read Gideon, I'm not teaching what you may have thought about. I'm not teaching about the fleece, if any of y'all know that part of the story. I'm going to kind of talk about God calling him a mighty warrior when he's clearly super fearful and scared to get out of the wine press." And he said, "Oh my gosh, that's exactly where I am right now." He said, I have a theology degree from seminary, and I left to start business, and I was doing business, and man, I'm 5 years in, and I'm totally discouraged. I have no idea what's going on. I don't understand why God won't help me with this, and I'm just totally beat down. I have no idea." And I was like, "Man, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I felt the same way. I was super discouraged, and I just want to encourage you that the Lord changed who I was. He didn't change my circumstances." That might not be super encouraging to you, but he didn't change my circumstances. But I would never go back to who I was before. I'm so thankful that he changed who I was and not that. And the dude got like teary-eyed and was like, "Can we go to lunch?" So I'm going to lunch with my pool guy here in the next couple of weeks. But it was so interesting because when I'm standing there, like I'm like super excited that I'm having this conversation with this guy. And I was like, "Man, that is so fun to me and so exciting." And I thought, I didn't used to think that way. And so I ran upstairs really fast, and I was like, "I want to find this thing in my journal from a long time ago." And I looked it up, and the very first time that I remember writing in my journal, I found it today, in 2003, I wrote down, "The Lord says that you're compassionate." And I have no idea what that means. It's like, okay, I wrote it in my journal. It's like, okay, I don't know what that means. And so time goes by, and things get bad. I was still probably at the church at that point. But time goes by, things get bad, they get worse. I don't know what compassion is. I wrote that in my journal more than once, and I have no idea what that means. And then in 2007, I'm in a bad place. There's not a better way to put it. I am super discouraged. I am fearful. I go to work, I come home. I said that earlier. I'm fearful. I'm scared. I did ministry. I failed. I did work. I failed. I've tried to date, and it's never gone well. I get hurt when I date. And so I just am hiding in my wine press, in my metaphorical wine press at my house. And some friends invited me to go to Africa with them. And at first I was like, "No way, not interested." And so they kept going, "We need a guy. We need some guys," or whatever. And so I finally said yes, decided to go with them. So a couple of days before we leave, I had some other friends. They're like, "Hey, are you super excited about Africa?" And I was like, "I'm not dreading it," which is really good for me. and that sounds crazy, but where I was like, the fact that I'm not dreading it is a big deal. And for sure, doing any kind of ministry was very scary to me because I had disqualified myself from ministry. So we go to Africa. This sounds a little crazy, but at the end of the trip, I've made it through the trip. It's been a kind of a weird week. The whole week's been really weird, and I'm kind of discouraged, to be honest. And this guy comes up to me and he grabs me, African guy. If you've ever been to Africa, you'll understand this. But he grabs me and he's like, "You have a gift. You have a gift. Many children will be blessed because of you." And I'm like, "I have no idea what that means at all." And I think that sounds crazy. It's like, and I'm not going to tell you that was the angel of the Lord giving me a word. I'm just saying that I think at that point my heart was open. I was in a soft spot because of that trip. I'd seen kids in extreme poverty. But I think it's Gideon. When the Lord comes to Gideon in the wine press and he's like, "Greetings, mighty warrior." I'm sure Gideon is like, "Yeah, not so much. I'm hiding in the wine press." And you see it if you read that story. He tests God right out of the chute. He's like, "Hey, if you're really God, show me this." Then he tests him with the fleece. If you've been around church, you may have heard that story. Tests him again with the fleece. And then later at the end, God's like, "Hey, I'm going to deliver this army to you. But if you don't believe me, then go down there and listen." So God does a preemptive strike on Gideon's doubt. And so Gideon's I mean, it's a lot like I was. And I think when the Lord calls him a mighty warrior, he has no idea what that means. When this guy in Africa says, many children will be blessed from you, I have no idea what that means. And I sure don't know what compassionate means that I've written in my journal multiple times. But I would tell you this. I think Gideon and I both were in a place that we were willing to take a step. And it's like, okay, I'm super fearful, but I am willing to take one step and then like pause and try to figure it out. And then take another step and pause. And that was in 2007. And I don't tell this to toot my own horn. I want to tell you this just to hopefully encourage you that the Lord does amazing things. But 8 years later in my business, we turned the business around. That, I think that's the Lord, but he didn't fix my circumstances immediately. It took a long time. In that process, he was changing my heart. And I would say now, another side interesting story, I know it's kind of a little tangent, but when all that bad stuff was happening, I had a buddy of mine. He was, I was in his wedding. He was my roommate. I hired him, taught him how to do the business. And then he left and took all of his clients with me and went into competition against me. I considered suing him because he was stealing money from me and essentially had done a Bible study on 1 Corinthians. And I was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust the Lord. Take the baby step. Trust the Lord. And I would tell you today, 10 years later, maybe 15 years later, he's got a ministry in Africa where he's rescuing girls off the streets in East Africa from the sex trade. And he's bringing them into a house and getting them out of that situation, doing counseling. And I'm supporting that. And as our company, when we make money, we send it to IJM so that they can rescue kids off the street. I had no idea what that guy meant when he said, someday children will be blessed from you. But I think the Lord has been faithful to change who I am and what my priorities are. And again, that is not me saying I'm awesome. That is me saying the Lord is super faithful when we are not, when we're not faithful or we're fearful or scared. And he turned Gideon, who's hiding in the wine press, into a mighty warrior. And if you go read that story, Gideon is not the epitome of a leader. You don't go read leadership stories about Gideon. You go read stories about Gideon being a wimp. And God totally changes him. And the same with me. My story is not that I'm amazing. My story is God changing me despite me probably kicking and screaming all the way. And so I just want to tell that story, one, because that Gideon's story is just, it kind of surprised me how encouraging it was to me. But more than that, I just want to encourage you guys and say, when I was in such a dark spot, I was thinking I was a failure. And I looked around at other people, and you see it today in social media where I'm like, man, I'm so bad, I'm unique. And what I learned, a super encouraging verse at that point for me was in Romans 3, where it says that no one is good, not even one. And I thought, man, I'm for sure not, but everybody else is. But Scripture says no one is good, not even one, and all have fallen short of the glory of God. And that was encouraging to me. You may have heard that before, you may not have, but ultimately nobody's good. And so my only hope is in Christ, and my only hope is that he's the thing that reconciles me to the Lord, and then I can go to the Lord and say, man, I'm fearful. I'm super scared to step out of the pain that I've had in the past and start moving again. And I would say that, man, the Lord has been nothing but faithful in not changing my circumstances. I don't want you to hear that. They're better, but it took a long time, but he changed who I was, and I think he changed who Gideon was, and he rescued that nation. 40 years of peace Israel had after Gideon essentially changed. That's what he did. The Lord changed him. And so when you guys go to your table talk time tonight, I just want y'all to ask those questions. What are the Midianites in your life? What are the things coming against you that make you kind of fearful? What is a circumstance in your life that makes you doubt the Lord? Why isn't he changing this? Makes me question him. And then finally, is there something you feel like maybe the Lord's calling you to do? Or something, some step that he's asking you? Or some way he wants you to change, like a character trait that you think maybe he's trying to develop in you? Mine was compassion, and I had no idea what that meant. And is there anything like that? And do you know... why you're not doing that. So thanks so much, and y'all can do table time now.